which could be destructive and would not be accepted by the people.
Do you believe that United States and Saudi Arabia see eye to eye on Yemen and actually have the same interests in the country?
In the past, the Yemeni file was in Saudi hands and the U.S. dealt directly with Saudi Arabia. But lately, after the revolution, the Americans dealt directly with Yemen without returning to the Saudis. The U.S. embassy, especially former U.S. Ambassador Gerald Feierstein, began meeting with tribal leaders, giving privileges and monthly incomes, luring Yemeni journalists, social figures and thinkers and others to travel to the U.S. In addition, he began creating conspiracies here and there and bringing in some U.S. Marine forces into the Sheraton Hotel in Sana'a and occupying Al Anad military base. And now they are building a naval base in Khor Al Umayra in the area of Lahij at the seashores. The U.S. has begun dealing with the situation in Yemen directly without having confidence in the Saudi method. Their interests meet, of course, since the Americans believe the Persian Gulf is a petrol station for the West and the U.S. Therefore, they are not eager for the interests of the Saudi kingdom as a regime or its people. They, however, care for their interests, for petrol areas, for money, and the presence of oil in these areas. In that case, there is sometimes a struggle on how to deal with internal issues in Yemen, since Saudi Arabia is not dealing with issues in the right way, or since it has had a negative influence on U.S. interests in Yemen and maybe even in the region.
Despite all the popular protests against the U.S. interference inside Yemen, you have the United States still seeking, of course, to deepen its presence inside Yemen and to still have this interference. But to what extent can it actually interfere in Yemen and have its dictates through the government of Yemen?
We have said that the U.S. had tried hard to keep the regime in its structure and essence, if not in its figures. The Americans understand that in dealing with Yemen, they should first deal with the official government and official sides. It deals in this way on one hand, and on the other, it deals with other political sides individually, and this is well known. This is why the U.S. is eager on keeping its interests, which is possible through keeping the government in its present form and its figures, and through creating a status quo and conflicts so that the U.S. can take advantage of the situation. The street is extremely unpleased with U.S. presence. And about 1 year ago, there was a campaign of millions of people who refused the U.S. presence. Over 3 or 4 million people signed in protest of the U.S. presence and refusing the U.S. hegemony. We don't believe the refusal of the U.S. project is only found in Yemen, but it's a popular demand found in the Arab and Muslim worlds, since the people are dismayed and are suffering as a result of the Zionist occupation of Palestine. Therefore, if we spoke about the people and excluded the regimes, then the Yemeni people as a whole oppose this presence. Is there a people that would accept occupation? Is there a people that would accept hegemony? Would a people accept to be humiliated? Would a people accept that U.S. warplanes launch attacks on their country for vague, unclear, and untruthful reasons, forcing a useless war based on distorted facts guided by the U.S. intelligence is not accepted by the people.
Through several reports and even U.S. statements, we understand that the United States has had a major role in actually strengthening Takfiri elements in the Middle East and Al-Qaeda-linked groups, especially in Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. Can we say the same about Yemen? And what kind of a role, whether the U.S. wanted to or not, has it had in actually strengthening Al-Qaeda inside Yemen?
We believe, as all observers and wise people, the Takfiri element was made by the U.S., and so was terrorism and killing, and destroying people, and creating a distorted image of Muslims. The U.S. created these elements during their war against the Soviet Union, and they have stated that they would use such elements to face the Soviet Union. Today, what is happening in Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and what's happening in Yemen? These elements are moving through which sides? These elements are active directly or indirectly through certain circles, through corrupt clerics and fatwas and intelligence agencies which move these groups and fund and give permission and open the way. And this is well known. The U.S. is controlling the Middle East on what basis? Under the slogan of the war on terror? How many countries has it occupied for the sake of this slogan? How many countries and people did it destroy under the pretext of this slogan? How many miseries did it create as a result of this slogan? This is why the U.S. needs the so-called Al-Qaeda and the Takfiris more than any other side. Today, if it wasn't for these elements, what excuses would the U.S. have for its daily reconnaissance in Yemen? What would be the excuse to have marine forces on the shores and in the hotels and in military bases? It is the U.S. and its intelligence agencies which have created this detrimental wound, and they are the ones using it to launch their attacks. Now we notice in Syria, it claims it stands with these groups, and they are known. They are groups of people who have come from the Arab world and even the Western world, whereas in Yemen, it says it is fighting Al-Qaeda. This is a gullible and exposed game. The U.S. has created these people and needed to create some pretext for them, like operations that target the West as destroying a plane or a tower, to create a better ground and to give it a pretext for a bigger retaliation than the destruction of one airplane. The situation our nation is living through today is mostly the result of the negative role of U.S. intelligence. We understand that the U.S., which has created these elements, is eager to keep them alive more than any other side, because it is the number one beneficiary. If we go back to the writings of many who were directly involved with the U.S. intelligence, they stress that the U.S. knew about all the aggressive actions committed by these elements. So it is the one paving the way, and it is the one using these elements to give a pretext to occupy nations and destroy the Arab and Muslim worlds for the sake of Israel's existence, and so that oil bases can remain safe while the nation is in a state of conflict. We have not seen any movement towards the Palestinian cause to face the aggressive occupier, something which all our people agree upon. Who has an interest in dividing our people and creating conflict among the people other than the Israelis and Americans?
How do you look at the Al-Qaeda threat inside Yemen, and what kind of a threat can it pose? Can it actually spread throughout the country?
Al-Qaeda is not a threat. It doesn't pose any threat. It has absolutely no presence amongst the population and has no safe haven or popular support. Danger comes from the Americans first and foremost. It is the Americans who create such elements, either through responses which come as a result of aggressive actions or the shelling of innocent people. And then you have other retaliations which give these Al-Qaeda elements leverage. But they can't find any pretext. They have tried to enter a battle with us in Qitaf, and they were defeated more than ever before and became even weaker. They have no social or popular support, nor do they have Islamic, national or Arab support. The sides which move them and even trigger the wars of these elements in a certain area is the U.S. When it wants them to go to Syria, it opens the way for them. And when it wants them to go to Iraq, it paves the way for them. In that sense, one writer considers the Al-Qaeda members as rats or cats, which you can starve and corner and make way for it whenever you wanted. It wanted to make way for it in Somalia, and it did. When it wanted to pave the way for Al-Qaeda into Yemen, it did. What are the objectives of the war which has been launched by the so-called Al-Qaeda? It has become a sectarian and racist war to divide the nation. What do they want with Iraq? Don't they hold the slogan of destroying holy shrines and tombs? Aren't they taking up sectarian slogans? These slogans cannot serve the nation. Why do we never hear any slogan which encourages moving towards Palestine to liberate Al-Quds, which is occupied by the Zionists? Why have we heard no call to unite this nation? If we look at the reasons, then we know who stands behind these elements.
Why would governments in the Arab world and the Islamic world actually have the same interest as Israel and the United States of actually diverting attention from the Palestinian cause?
Unfortunately, it is a struggle, especially when there are claims by some sides in our Arab and Muslim nation that Iran is the enemy and not Israel. Unfortunately, there is always someone taking advantage of the divisions among the people. Who is it that inflames a sectarian dispute? It is tens of sectarian media outlets which try to create an atmosphere of conflict and tension. But to whose interest? Who funds these and backs them? The West comes to take advantage of the conflict between the people of the nation on the basis that it will benefit. You you notice some areas or certain countries which are close to Iran are being fought by the US and Israel. The Shia in Iraq, for instance, are being fought by the Zionists and Takfiris and any other side. This is our problem. The problem in our nation is that there is no unity, and it is a divided nation. It is a nation based on sectarian rhetoric, and we've reached a stage where the West is being asked and demanded to come and occupy and kill in order to achieve a minor benefit in a certain area or ministry. This is a major problem for our nation. If the Palestinians are suffering from internal strife, then what is left for the rest of the people in this world, which is suffering from deep divisions where religions and sects are fighting each other? This has led some to take assistance from any side, even Satan himself, to achieve a small advantage and sacrifice the rights of the entire nation, as in the Palestinian issue.
You, as a Houthi party, what is your goal and objective, whether in Yemen or the region?
Our objective is what we spoke of during the dialogue sessions. Our internal project for our country is to have a civil government which protects people's rights and protects democracy in the right way. There should be coexistence among all sides, and we may build our country in the economic, security, and political aspects, and restore the sovereignty of our country and raise its economic state. We should be an independent state with no foreign influence. When it comes to our foreign project, as a significant part of this nation, we see that we need to strengthen our nation, and the Palestinian issue and the Islamic resistance in Lebanon and the Islamic resistance in Palestine should be supported, and we should all stand with them and sacrifice our money, blood, arms, and political position to achieve our cause as a nation. We should remove our nation from a situation where we are mere numbers which are being played by foreign agendas to serve their interests. We should be a nation that takes advantage of its strategic position and exploits its own resources underneath the ground and build itself.
Mr. Muhammad Abdussalam, spokesperson for Al Ansar Party in Yemen, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Face to Face on Press TV.